0590, star 590 on the cell. If you're on the line, stay there. If you're not, make sure you call in. It's the post-game show brought to you by your Honda dealers. Welcome back to Rogers Center. Blue Jays lose 5-3 to the Baltimore Orioles. I am Ben Ennis filling in for Mike Wilner on the Blue Jays talk, and it will continue on Sportsnet 590 The Fan till the top of the hour. But before we let the network go, going to have a quick look around the majors as the Tigers beaten the Orioles 6-3. Prince Fielder with home run number 24 for the Bengals. Yankees lose in Boston to the Red Sox 8-4. It was Jared Saltalamacchia's 13th home run, a grand slam, the difference there for the Red Sox. The A's currently in Arlington, leading the Rangers 9-2, bottom of the sixth. The Rays in Minnesota leading the Twins 3-0. The Yankees going to be looking at that result and hoping that maybe the Twins have a comeback in them. Nationals just keep on winning. They've won seven straight trying to stay alive as they beat the Phillies 6-1. Pirates lose 5-4 to the Cubs. As for the Reds, they trail the Brewers 5-1, bottom of the seventh. Cardinals trailing the Mariners 1-0 as they play in the bottom of the eighth. Blue Jays continuing the series tomorrow against the Baltimore Orioles, as it will be Chris Tillman getting the start against Esmiel Rogers. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. Well, Blue Jays trying to get off the mat and snap a four-game losing streak tomorrow. And we are on the air. 3:30 pregame for a 4:07 first pitch. Back in the saddle for Mike Wilner. For Jerry Howarth, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Gord Brunt, and Brett Armstrong, I'm Ben Ennis. Continuing the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan till the top of the hour. If you're on the network, we'll see you later.
Game at your favorite Blue Jays at sportsnet.ca. This is Toronto Blue Jays Baseball, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Kobe belts one deep right field, another high, long, deep drive heading for the Orioles bullpen. There she goes into it. Welcome back, Kobe Rasmus. Number 19 gives the Blue Jays a 3-0 lead over the Orioles.
There you go, Jerry Howarth with the call. Colby Rasmus with home run number 19. He and Edwin Encarnacion making their returns from injury. And a pretty good day for Colby. 2-for-4 with that home run. Also had a single. Did strike out looking to end the game, though. But that home run put the Blue Jays in front 3-0. After that, it was all Orioles as they scored a pair in the top of the eighth. End up winning this thing 5-3 over the Blue Jays as the Jays this season dropping to 67-80. So still one more opportunity to save a 500 season or better for the Blue Jays. Can only lose one more if they want to finish at 500. I would say that's a long shot. Taking your phone calls until the top of the hour on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. A great night, but also a tough night for Todd Redmond as he does not get the winning decision despite 6 1/3 very strong innings. Just 3 hits allowed, 1 earned run, and it was an inherited runner eventually allowed by Dustin McGowan as he gave up the RBI double to J.J. Hardy. 7 strikeouts as well for Todd Redmond, who has the best K per 9 of this starting staff for the Blue Jays. And, I mean, that's nice for Todd Redmond. Maybe more of an indictment on this Blue Jays starting staff, though. And Todd Redmond was nice tonight. Great start. 7 strikeouts over 6 1/3 is very nice. And he's thrown his hat into the ring for like that 6th, 7th starter, I think, for next season. I don't think there should be any confusion as to whether he should be in the starting 5 of the Blue Jays come next year. It's been good, though, occasionally. Last 3 starts, he's been very reasonable. And then 4 starts ago, got smoked by the Astros. So up and down for Todd Redmond. 1-888-666-0594 and 6-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. I'm filling in for Mike Wilner. My name is Ben Ennis. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dave is in Guelph.
Hey
Dave.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Well, my comment is this. I think John Gibbons may be a good manager for some teams, but he's a lousy manager for this team. This is a team of underachievers. This is a bunch of guys that, without the direction that they so much needed this year, decided they could do it their own way. Well, we've seen what's happened. Okay? Never mind the pitching, the starting pitching. All the games that they lost because they couldn't hit to the opposite field, they couldn't lay down a bunt, those are the kinds of things that a manager like Madden or somebody like demands of his players. We need here is a taskmaster. That's what you need when you have a team that underachieves. You need a guy who's not worried about sitting some guy down because he doesn't play. Aaron Sebia, how can you keep playing this guy?
Well, that's, you know what? Aaron Sebia is a good point, and yeah, you can point to the horrible stats that I mentioned about him having the worst batting average and on-base percentage in Blue Jays franchise history. But, I mean, yeah, it's on him. He's the one swinging the bat. It's also on this franchise for continuing to run him out there with that offensive production and with, I mean, if it's not fine to have a guy hitting that if he plays above-average defense, but it's a little more understandable. If you've got a guy who's Yadier Molina behind the plate, but is hitting 205 with a 235 on base, you can justify it a little bit more than a guy who does not even play average defense behind the plate and has those kinds of numbers. So, yeah, he hasn't produced, but he's really not been put in the greatest of situations by this team, and I guess it just comes down to there being no other option for this team behind the plate. They traded away Travis d'Arnaud, who hopefully will not turn into a perennial all-star for the New York Mets, but that is no sure thing. The Blue Jays they got to go out and get a catcher this offseason. That's not an easy thing to do. Brian McCann's going to have lots of suitors. He's a guy that's injury prone. Big bat, could be in the middle of the lineup, but is he an option for this team? He's going to command serious, serious dollars. We'll have to see, but I don't think there's any question that this team is going to be looking at upgrading the catching position, upgrading the starting staff, number one, and second base. As nice as Ryan Goins has been defensively, and I mean, considering the pylons they had out there at second base earlier in the season, he looks like a world beater. I think they're going to have to improve second base as well. Thanks for the call, Dave. Let's go to Rocky in Markham.
I'm with you.
Hey, Rocky.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I have a few suggestions. I think it's better for the Jays to lose right now because they should solidify a top 10 pick for 2014 if they want to get like a free agent and not lose a draft pick, right? That's one of my suggestions. And secondly, for the catching position, I think it's better for the Jays to go after a player like A.J. Pierzynski since he has pitched with Mark Burley before, right?
And yeah, they've had some success.
And not only that, he could also platoon with A.J. Jimenez. I think Jimenez should get a shot next year, in my opinion.
Yeah, he hasn't. I mean, it's. I believe this is his first season in Double A this year. I've never seen him. Have you ever seen him?
I know he has great defense. He was in the Futures All-Star game this year. And
yeah.
And he has way better discipline compared to JPA. However, he doesn't have the power, but they could find other ways to find power, right? So, and another suggestion I should think is they should go all in on Tanaka because
yeah,
right now, like
the Japanese pitcher,
they need a guy like him because like I remember when James Shields was pitching against the Jays, they need a pitcher like James Shields because like he's like the backstopper for the Royals.
They need an ace. I mean, R.A. Dickey was supposed to be that this season.
He was supposed to be like that, but at the same time, like I think you got to look at the age as well. Like Tanaka, he's only 24. He's going to be 25 in November. And
hey, I think the Blue Jays are going to be in on him like they were for Yu Darvish. But remember, for every Darvish, there is a Daisuke Matsuzaka as well.
Like, if you think about it, a lot of people say Daisuke was a bust, but if you think about it, they won the World Series in 2007.
Yeah.
One of the reasons is because of him and Josh Beckett.
He was infuriating to watch, though. I mean, it would be nice to win a World Series, and I'm sure it was great for the Boston Red Sox.
And,
but every
I
time
think,
he takes them out every 5 days,
I think Tanaka,
you're pulling my hair out.
Tanaka would be a great risk because look at Yu Darvish. Przinski is also pitching against with Darvish. So Przinski would have the opportunity to pitch like Burley, Dickey, those guys. Like I think it would be. The Jays should go all in, no matter how much it costs. I know the Red Sox, Yankees, Rangers, et cetera, will go after him, but the Jays don't have a choice if they don't want to lose like a player like Batista or any prospects in the farm, right? Because their farm system is already thinning, right? So
it's going to be difficult to trade away any more
minor
league depth. Thanks for the call, Rocky. We got to take a break here, unfortunately. You were making some good points, but you're talking about Tanaka and A.J. Jimenez, like, I mean, we all see the stats, but having never seen him before, I mean, we're all just dealing with stuff we've heard and we've read. So it's kind of difficult to make a call on guys like that if you've never seen him. Continuing to take your phone calls till the top of the hour, 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell as the Blue Jays lose 5-3 to the Baltimore Orioles. I'm Ben Ennis, filling in for Mike Wilner. It's the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Ball drilled deep to left field. Back for it goes Anthony Gose and reaches out. Makes an over-the-shoulder catch. Taps a chain-link fence with a ball in his glove and now turns and starts sprinting to the third base dugout. The defense has been supreme here tonight. Anthony Gose stealing a hit away from Clevinger.
How about that? Anthony Gose looking good going against the wall in left field. Dead run taking a hit away from Steve Clevinger. Nah. Blue Jays still lose, though. 5-3. To the Baltimore Orioles in game one of three here at Rogers Center. I'm Ben Ennis filling in for Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays talk, and still time to get your phone calls in at 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. But we're going to get to the phone lines again in just a second, but want to go down to the Blue Jays clubhouse right now. Is Colby Rasmus returning from his oblique injury? Didn't play since the early part of August, back in the lineup. Didn't skip a beat, apparently. He was very good today, finishing 2-for-4, had the solo shot in the bottom of the fifth, his 19th of the season as well. He spoke to the media postgame.
You said you had your timing back for your first at bat, the second one will do. I'm sure that was a pretty nice poke.
Yeah, felt good. You know, I tried to get myself, my swing ready and all that, and I hoped that would, you know, helped me to get my timing back quickly, and it worked out good.
Even when you've been in the big leagues for 4 or 5 years, when you come back off an injury and you haven't seen live pitching in a while, that first time you step in, is it still an adjustment?
Well, I mean, definitely the adrenaline's pumping, you know, and you want to do something, you know, to get a good feeling going, get a good thing going. But I just tried to relax as much as I could and focus on things that I was focusing on before I left. And it worked out good for me.
You love the game, but when you're out of it for a little while and you get back in, this is like almost another reminder just how much you love playing and being there and not sitting out.
No doubt about it. I mean, I was just happy to be back and, you know, happy to give us a chance to win.
You actually got a pretty good view of Chris Davis's home run go over your head. I mean, just from the outside as a fan of the game, what do you think of what he's managed to do this year?
Well, I mean, I can look at it as a player. I can't look at it from the outside, but I mean, he's doing it, man. He's been through some things. I guess he went through some stuff over there with the Rangers and got to a good place, you know, that's good for him mentally and physically, and he's just doing his thing.
Chris Davis is country strong. There's Colby Rasmus talking post-game after his 2-for-4 day with a couple of RBIs, run scored on the home run, a couple of groundouts mixed in with the single and that home run. But Blue Jays losing 5-3. This is the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I am Ben Ennis filling in for Mike Wilner. Let's go back to the phone lines. Paul's in Toronto.
Yeah, hi, Ben. I'm glad you took my call and your partner there, Gordon. Thanks. I've got about two or three comments to make here. I'll make them as quick as possible, and I'll make you comment on them as possible. I think, number one, I'm very, very tired of seeing other teams pitch around, their managers pitch around Batista and Encarnacion all year, never give them an opportunity to beat them, but yet our manager, very seldom I see him pitch around anybody. Like, I didn't watch a game tonight, and with this Davis, I heard he hit the home run as usual. I mean, I didn't watch the game, to be honest with you, because nothing but stressful all year long. But anyways, thing is, why? I mean, this guy, the manager on this manager, he's got to pitch around these guys like Davis and anybody else if the game is on the line.
Davis led off the top of the eighth. You're giving him the Barry Bonds treatment. You want to walk him with nobody on to lead off an inning?
Well, to be honest with you, Ben, I don't care if there's the bases got to be loaded before I'm going to pitch to somebody that can beat me.
So you're going to automatically give him an on base of 1,000?
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
he's still. Why? I mean. He did hit the home run, but that was his one hit of the day. He was 1 for 5, although he did hit the ball pretty hard in 4 of those 5 at-bats, struck out in the fourth. But a couple of deep flyouts, the one to left field, I was surprised, carried as far as it did, lined one to Brett Laurie, and then flew out to center field as well. But he's not Barry Bonds quite yet. He is having a monster year, and he has 50 home runs this season, but... Yeah, you managed to get him out 3 times previous.
No, but Ben, this goes on. It's been going on all year long. It's not just the bat with Davis. I've seen other teams beat Toronto over and over and over again near the end of the game by when they pitch somebody that is dangerous, really dangerous. They don't put up the 4 fingers, the manager, and say, "Give him the base." I don't care. You got to have bases loaded before I'm going to pitch you. If you're a real dangerous batter, I am not going to let you beat me. I'm sorry.
So let me just get this straight. Your solution for this Blue Jays team and their pitching woes is more walks. They need to be issuing more walks.
No, I didn't say that, sir. All I'm saying is I am not going to let any team beat me if I have the advantage to give them a free base and pitch go to the next guy that is not so dangerous. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Paul. It sounds to me like that's what you're saying. You're saying walk more people. And Chris Davis is having a monster year, like I said, 50 home runs now, hitting around 300. And he did hit one out there in the eighth against one of your better relievers in Steve Delabar. But like I said, you got him out 3 times previous, struck out in the fourth, and you got him out in the ninth, even though he hit it hard 4 times tonight. You got him out 4 times, and he did hit the home run. Ends up winning the game as well. But I don't know if the Blue Jays' solution to their pitching problems this season is to walk more people. I think it's to get better pitching performances and maybe don't blow the 3-run lead in the first place. And tonight that maybe meant keeping Todd Redmond in there, but I can understand where John Gibbons is coming from as well, where he wants to get his best relievers in at a pretty crucial point in the game. And maybe there was some cracks in the armor for Chris Davis there in the seventh, giving up a pretty hard hit ball to Adam Jones, and then the ground out by Nick Markakis, who hit it hard as well. And nice to end the day on a high for Todd, although doesn't really end on a high when he watches the bullpen squander away his 4th win of the season. Dustin McGowan unable to do the job, but you go back his last few starts, and it was okay in Arizona. Gave up 3 earned runs over 5 to the Diamondbacks. Start before that, gave up 2 earned runs over 5 1/3 to the Yankees. That was a great start, but just 3 starts ago, 7 earned runs at Houston. He's had those starts, but for the most part, he's been pretty solid as a starter for the Blue Jays, and perfect guy to be maybe a swing man next year, 6th, 7th starter, as the Blue Jays look to rebuild their starting rotation. Phone lines still open, 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Get to your phone calls in just a second, but mention the fine start that Todd Redmond had, going 6 1/3 innings, striking out 7, giving up just 3 hits. Well, he spoke post-game as well.
You look at all the starts you've made this year, was that about as good as you felt in the rounds?
I felt real good today. I was able to keep the ball down, keep hitters off balance. My split was working, and being able to hit both sides of the plate was good.
I mean, I think we were all a little surprised when you came out, 75 pitches, you know, 3 hit shutout on the go. Were you aware of the fact that they're keeping an eye on you? They didn't want you overworked? They wanted,
you know what? No. It's whenever Gibby decided to take me out, it's his choice. I had no idea how many pitches I had until somebody told me when I came in here. So I was just trying to keep the game close so we have a chance to win.
Todd, did you feel like you still had a lot left in the tank though when they took you out?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you always have the adrenaline going, and when you're feeling good out there, you definitely want to stay in.
when you first came up, your role was a little bit up in the air. Didn't really know what to expect. And now that you've kind of had all these starts, and a lot of them have gone pretty well for you, do you feel like you've kind of made a case here for yourself?
I hope so. I mean, this year I just look one start at a time, and next year's next year. But I hope I am. You know, I just go out there and try to do my best and help the team win.
Your fourth through six innings were real solid tonight. They haven't been so much earlier on this year. And that second and third time through, were there adjustments you made tonight?
No, I mean, just my last two starts, I was able to keep the ball down, even my last one. You know, we worked real in the bullpen trying to keep the ball down and not so many misses up. And it's paid dividends and it's paid off pretty well.
Do you feel that as you look ahead to next year, wanted to prove that you belong in the rotation, that getting deeper into ball games here over your last two or three starts is...
Oh, I mean, yeah, you definitely... No pitcher wants to come out in the fifth. You always want to keep going in the sixth, seventh inning. Our offense did great tonight, too, so, I mean, it was great.
There he is, Todd Redmond, going six and a third innings, striking out seven, giving up one earned run on three hits, unable to get the win, though. Stuck with a no decision. So he stays at 3-2 this season. Dustin McGowan couldn't hold it for him. The Blue Jays lose 5-3 to the Baltimore Orioles. Going to get right back at it tomorrow afternoon. A little later start time, if you didn't notice. 4:07 first pitch. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bob is in Toronto.
How you doing, Ben?
Hey, good, Bob.
Talk about upgrades. When are we going to get an upgrade at GM? I mean, 90-loss season last year, going to be a 90-loss season this year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be perfectly honest. I mean, Anthopoulos, you know, he's had 3 years, and like this team, I've gone to games last year, this year. I'm not going to any more games. I'm embarrassed the way the team plays. Fundamentally, they've been horrible this year, embarrassing in a lot of games. And then Anthopoulos, 3 weeks ago, he comes out and says, you know, John Gibbons will be definitely back next year. Like, how could you even make that comment with the way the team's played this year? And don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming John Gibbons. He didn't put this team together. But I really believe, like, why can't we upgrade a GM? Like, let's go get the guy that's managed the GM of Oakland. Or let's go get the GM of Baltimore or the Yankee GM.
I still think it's too early to pull the pin on Alex Anthopoulos. But, I mean, that time will come. And I think next year is, if this is the same scenario we're in 365 days from now, I don't think there's any question that will be the theme of this team, is that there's a change at the GM position. This team was not built for 1 year. The moves that were made in the offseason, it's about a three-year window where you've got R.A. Dickey and Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion and all those guys playing at the prime. So I still give them another year at least before I start calling for Alex Anthopoulos' head. But yeah, certainly the bloom is off the rose in that regard.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
How are the Jays going to sell tickets next year? I mean,
well, you could have asked the same question a year ago today, and you would have said, how's this team going to sell any tickets? And then they went out and had the offseason that they did. We don't know what's going to happen this winter, so maybe they have an even better offseason than they had last year. They win the winter again. Although it didn't work out so well for them last year. So I feel like the fan base is changing as well.
I agree that, I mean, I watch a lot of baseball, like Tampa Bay, Baltimore, the Yankees. I mean, you watch Detroit play. Like, our team, we're not in the same league as they are. Like, just
no.
Even like this homestand, for instance.
Yeah.
You lose. I mean, it's embarrassing. You know, like you lose. We were 0-4 on the homestand. Like, this is a poor baseball team. Like, what more can you say? Like,
oh, no, that's you pretty much hit the nail on the head here. It's a team that's 67-80 after today's loss. Thanks for the call, Bob. I don't think anybody's trying to say that this team is not very bad, because it is. It's quite bad this season. And a lot of that has to do with some very underperforming starting pitchers, most notably Josh Johnson, who still might get paid $14 million for next season. Still have to see how the Blue Jays figure that one out, try and get a draft pick. That'll pretty much do it here at Rogers Center. Blue Jays back at it tomorrow against the Orioles. It's a 3:30 pregame show for a 4:07 first pitch. I'll be here with Jerry Howarth and Jack Morris as well. S. Mill Rogers against Chris Tillman. Follow me on Twitter @BennisSNet. Blue Jays, losers 5-3 against the Baltimore Orioles, trying to snap a four-game losing streak tomorrow afternoon. Filling in for Mike Wilner, I'm Ben Ennis. Good night from Rogers Center.